Welcome to the Show Me Mo Success podcast, where we explore the journeys people undertake when they turn a passion into action in order to make a difference, and how MU Extension's Business and Communities program gave them a little assist along the way. I'm Luke Dieterle, Extension Specialist with the Exceed program in Business and Communities, and today's guest is Columbia resident Jackie Reed. Jackie recognized a need for compassionate end-of-life care in her community based on her 24-year nursing career and responded by starting a 501c3 nonprofit organization, Caring Hearts and Hands of Columbia. We will also talk to Elizabeth Anderson, Extension and Engagement Specialist for Business and Communities, and how she met Jackie to help her on her journey. So yeah, this is a home. This is a house. Mm-hmm. This isn't a clinical facility. So this need for more end of life care was only kind of exacerbated by the pandemic, that it was there before. Could you speak a little bit about some of the challenges that families face when they have a loved one that's approaching the end of their life?
Absolutely. So that's what Doreen and I saw working in palliative care, is that when we were trying to help family members begin hospice, a lot of family members realized that they didn't have enough resources to be able to take their loved one home and be cared for there. And that's where most people prefer to die. When they realized that they weren't going to be able to have enough family members or enough support, they would often have to look to a nursing home. And that was something that a lot of children have promised their parents that they would never do, is put them in a nursing home. And this was one of the other options that they were having to consider. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that Medicare doesn't cover the cost of the room and board of a nursing home when somebody's going through end of life. It does cover the cost of the hospice nurse to come into the home, but not the room and board costs. So that was something that family members were really surprised by and then were devastated to learn. I had family members have to sign contracts with nursing homes promising to pay the bill after they had received their life insurance policy payment. And I just thought that was a horrible thing to have to go through.
So I know I have some personal experience with this from both ends. So one positive and one negative experience. I'll start with the positive. My wife's grandmother, Rosemary, when she was approaching the end of her life, my wife's family was very fortunate that they actually had the resources to have her bring her home for a few days. And my father-in-law, you know, retrofitted the dining room, put up drywall. You know, it was only for a few days, but it was just tremendous. Like, that was, I think, how most folks would love to experience that. But then on the other side, you know, I lost my grandpa Bob about 12 years ago. He was in Pennsylvania. My family was in Illinois. You know, we would go back and forth a couple weeks, but you know, we couldn't make it work, and we had to, you know, have him finish his life in the nursing home. And it tore us up, and it wasn't what we wanted, but we were just kind of forced into that situation, unfortunately. So that's just to say, I absolutely recognize the need for what you're doing. So what was it that spurred you to leave your nursing profession and embark on this journey?
Well, it was during that time, during the pandemic, when I just really felt this huge calling to focus my time and my energy 100% on getting this home open. I felt that it would be a solution to a lot of family members that were having a difficult time trying to be with their loved ones and were facing all of those different struggles. So in November of 2020, I retired and went full time into trying to promote Caring Hearts and Hands of Columbia.
So at that time that you retired, how much of this idea had you fleshed out already?
We had formed our organization and actually had gotten our 501(c) in January of 2020. But obviously, we weren't able to fundraise much in the middle of a pandemic. So we were just trying to kind of figure out how we were going to be able to move forward. So by November, things were starting to lighten up a little bit. And we thought that we could start planning and organizing some fundraising events, and we decided to do a memorial luminary event for the following year. And we had our first event in 2021, and this year will be our third event.
So Caring Hands and Hearts of Columbia, was this an idea that just came to you, or was there some kind of model, or how did you come up with this approach?
Well, the other co-founder, Doreen Rarden, has wanted to start a hospice house here in Columbia for many, many years. She started the palliative care program at Boone, and she realized, as did I, when we were working in palliative care, that family members had these struggles. So she had heard about a social model end-of-life home in Tulsa, Oklahoma called Clare House, and that she asked if I would come with her to go visit this home. And we did, and we were just amazed. It was a wonderful concept. We knew it would really meet the needs of our community. And we came back determined to make it happen because we felt Columbia really deserved a home like this.
Families approaching the end of life with a loved one, there's a lot of struggles. It can be a financial burden, just the emotion involved. I'm certain we've all heard, you know, those devastating stories of families dropping off a loved one at a nursing home during the pandemic, not being able to be with them to say goodbye. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, your experience of seeing that firsthand and the importance that you see family plays in those final days?
Yes, I think everybody would like to be able to die at home, if at all possible, and have their family members at their bedside. And this is something that Caring Hearts and Hands is hoping to put out there for family members, this other option. During the pandemic, guests were left alone in the nursing homes without family members by their side. And this was something that we wanted to overcome.
You were starting a nonprofit for the first time after a lifetime of nursing. Now that's a challenge for anybody to start a nonprofit. But so what were some of those first resources that you looked for, or how did you acquire the skills you needed to achieve what you've been able to achieve?
Well, I think it was down to network. Mm-hmm. And I had heard about the Missouri Women's Business Center. And Jennifer was really eager to help us in any way we could to be successful. And she recommended that I attend a Neighborhood Leadership Academy program through MU. And so this was something that I pursued and didn't realize just how wonderful and beneficial it was going to be.
So Neighborhood Leadership Academy, that is a program of MU Extension, and we have Elizabeth Anderson here to talk a little bit about it. So, Elizabeth, can you tell us a little bit about where Jackie was when she first approached the Neighborhood Leadership Academy?
I would say Jackie was probably somewhere right there in the middle. She had already done a lot of the heavy lifting and a lot of the hard work. The culminating project that everybody has to come up with when they participate in Neighborhood Leadership Academy can also really range in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's a brand new idea that they develop over that 10 weeks of the course. Some of them already have a project that they've been working on, and that's where Jackie fell. She already had a really strong passion for this project, and this, I think, was able to just help push her forward to the next step.
Great. So you had your nonprofit established, you had your board, you had your articles of incorporation. What were some of those gaps that you were able to fill with your participation in the Neighborhood Leadership Academy?
I think some of the topics they talked about, like stakeholders, was really good to figure out who would be good working partners to help us get this off the ground. Lots of different skills, just how to run a better meeting and how to be more organized and how to plan goals and assess whether you're getting closer to those goals. Lots of different things.
That's great. So, Jackie, you and I, we're here in Columbia, but Missouri is a big place. So is this program available to folks across the state of Missouri?
Yes, it is. This will be the fourth year that NLA is statewide. It has a nice long history, a 20-year plus history in the St. Louis area. But thankfully, the facilitator team was just about to start moving it statewide right as the pandemic hit. So it was a good fit to pivot to online learning. And Jackie was with us for our second year of it being a statewide offering. This will be our fourth. And we have people on our team all across the state that can meet with people locally and get them involved in Neighborhood Leadership Academy.
That's awesome. So I imagine folks have some barriers maybe to participating. What can the Neighborhood Leadership Academy do to for folks that might have be experiencing a barrier to participating?
Sure. We offer scholarships. Not everyone who applies can get a scholarship, but we do have a nice scholarship application period. And that is funded through our grant funding through the Missouri Foundation for Health, because they believe that one way to increase positive outcomes in people's lives is training up new leadership and helping people advocate for themselves and what they want their communities to look like. So we do offer scholarships that can help people who may not be able to secure the funding for the fee for the class, because it is a commitment. That NLA is a 10-week course. It's 3 hours each week. And so the people who want to be involved really have to have a passion for what they're wanting to do. But also that ending project that I talked about, this will be our third year going into offering mini grants to participants. That's one of the skills that we felt was important for the participants to have, was learning how to write a little grant and a budget and be able to make a presentation about what their project is. And so we are able to offer that. Again, not for everybody. It's competitive, but it helps to kind of move things a little bit further and raise the bar.
Yeah, and I understand, Jackie, you were a recipient of one of those grants. Is that right?
Yes, it was a wonderful opportunity. As we discussed earlier, when you're starting a not-for-profit, you tend to throw a lot of your own money into the startup of that. So having that opportunity to be able to get all of this knowledge and not have it cost you what it really should cost you is really amazing.
So I just saw you had your ribbon cutting. Can you tell us a little bit more about the house? What's it like? What does it feel like?
It's a really warm and inviting house, just filled with love. We have a little reception area in the front where we can greet our family members, and so they can come and find out a little bit more about us. We have two bedrooms that our guests are in. We call our the people that we're serving at end of life our guests. And we have a big kitchen where we can bake cookies and do meals for family members. And then we have a big living room off the back that's kind of a big sunroom where they can gather with other family members. We have a little covered porch. So if you need to be outside and be around nature to help kind of de-stress a bit, you can do that. Everybody that has come into the home has just really felt that it was lovely and a very calm and relaxing place to be.
It was comfortable.
Very comfortable. Yeah. More like their own home. It's their home away from home.
Yeah. So what are some of the feedback you've gotten from some of the families?
We just lost our fourth guest yesterday. And after talking with her family, one of the daughter-in-laws said that this home was like heaven on earth, and nothing could have touched me more.
That's incredible. Yeah. So that's why you're doing this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So Jackie, can you tell us where we can find you on social media or on the internet? How do folks get in touch?
Yes, we have a Facebook page, Caring Hearts and Hands of Columbia. And then we also have a website, www.caringheart1heart or singular heart and hands.org, in our website, even though we have it plural in our name, Caring Hearts and Hands.
And Elizabeth, for folks interested in participating in the Neighborhood Leadership Academy, how do they find you?
So this is really great timing. Registration has just opened for the 2023 NLA cohort. You can find us at extension.missouri.edu and search for Neighborhood Leadership Academy. Or if you really like social media, there should be a post on our Business and Communities Facebook page, which directs you to the registration. And we will start class on the evening of September 13th.
That was Jackie Reed, founder of Caring Hearts and Hands of Columbia. Thanks for listening. I'm Luke Dieterle, Extension Specialist with MU Extension's Business and Communities Program. If you want to email the show, you can reach me at luke.dieterle@missouri.edu. That's luke.dieterle@missouri.edu. And remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and the Amazon Music app. And if you listen to us through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review and be a friend of the show. Click that follow button. This episode was produced by Afshan Musani with research by John Klo. Executive producers are Sarah Riley and Mike Hinata. The Senior Program Director for MU Extension's Business and Communities Program is Dr. Rob Russell. And this is Show Me Mo Success.